fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. We begin Thursday's show with African disabled sports. Uganda's para badminton team is preparing for the World Championships in Basel, Switzerland later this month. The team has the second highest ranked player in Africa and aims to compete at the 2020 Summer Paralympic Games in Tokyo, where para badminton will make its debut. But as Halima Athubani reports from Kampala, limited resources make their participation uncertain.
Elizabeth Mwesigwa is Uganda's para badminton champion and the second highest ranking player in Africa. The team is doing its best to prepare for the Para Badminton World Championships in Basel, Switzerland, starting August 20. But Mwesigwa says they are sorely under-resourced, have to buy their own equipment and often train themselves.
Getting shuttles, getting everything, plus the shoe, clothes, everything, it's somehow expensive. Plus the coaches, sometimes we reach at the court, we train without coach.
Para players need specialized equipment such as wheelchairs, but for travel to the World Championships in Switzerland, they will get support. Mugabe Simon is the chief executive officer of the Uganda Badminton Association.
Our team as Uganda is prepared because we have come a long way. As you have seen them today, it's not that they have just started training. They have been, of course, in various trainings before this.
Uganda's players look forward to the international exposure despite the challenges they face at home. Kasirye Paddy is Uganda's number two ranked para badminton player.
Like for me, I'm working, then after, then I come for training because the government cannot pay you. But I like the game. So that's what gives me confidence that I'm getting challenges from people who are better than me.
Para badminton will make its debut at the 2020 Summer Paralympic Games in Tokyo. The event in Basel will be the first Paralympic qualifier. Although Mwesigwa's high-ranking position in Africa qualifies her for the Tokyo Games, it's not yet clear if the team will get enough support to travel to Japan. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Kampala.
Thanks, Halima. King Mohammed VI of Morocco is expected to officially open the All-Africa Games on August 19th in Rabat. The main venue for the Games will be the Prince Moulay Abdallah Stadium, which has a seating capacity of about 53,000. The stadium is where athletics and the opening and closing ceremonies will take place. During Wednesday's show, Magumi Davis Rakawinge looked at the medal prospects of Ugandan runners at Rabat 2019. This evening, Magumi's focus is on athletes from South Sudan.
South Sudan's athletes will have to run faster in order to beat some of Africa's best athletes. The South Sudan team has been busy training this week for the games at the Mandela National Stadium in Nambole in Kampala ahead of the Continental Showdown. The athletes say they have good players, including Olympic athlete Santino Kenyi, who competed at the international competition in Rio de Janeiro at the 2016 Summer Games. Kenyi says the outcome of the race will change his life.
My family, they are cattle keepers, and I told myself that I do not want to be like them. I want to educate myself. I want to show example to others. I hope also I can inspire others and peace come to my country.
The 26-year-old was eliminated in the preliminary round of 1500 meters at the Olympics. But the challenge of competing on large stage for South Sudan was a good experience. He hopes to pass on the lessons he learned to some of his training teammates, including middle-distance runner Abraham Ajok Matet.
This is the first time that I'm going to compete with some of the best guys that I've been hearing about. And I will be very happy because it is my first time to go there also. And this time I will be able to study different paces.
This year's All-African Games will be a qualifier in 15 disciplines for the upcoming Olympics in Tokyo, Japan next year, according to the Olympics Channel. Both Kenyi and Matete hope South Sudan's participation at the Games would bring unity and inspire millions of people whose hopes have been overshadowed by years of conflict and political instability. Matete says he wants to use the Games as a vehicle for change in his home country.
By that time when we come back, if I manage to win a medal, many journalists will come to me and it will give me a chance to pass my message of peace, what I feel in my heart about it, South Sudan being a peaceful country. It will be my opportunity to pass my message to them that it is good to be one.
Speaking in Arabic, South Sudanese coach Joseph Anthony says his team of runners have what it takes to win medals despite a shortage of resources for the athletes.
As a new country, we are still lacking a lot of things. For example, Kenyan players can go for long distance, such as 50 kilometers, without getting tired. We also want to begin practicing the same. Our players are ready. They just need to be coached in athletics.
The athletes hope one day South Sudan will be peaceful and good sports infrastructure will be constructed in the country to encourage South Sudanese to compete in international games. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinjini, Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. My VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, joins us now with a spicy tennis package. And Jim says he'll begin with an Australian player who won a hardcourt tournament here in Washington.
Australian Nick Kyrgios won his sixth ATP Tour title at the City Open Tennis Tournament in Washington, D.C.
It's great to get the win, but, you know, I've proved to myself and a lot of people that are backing me that I still have it and can still produce at the highest level.
The 24-year-old Kyrgios defeated Daniil Medvedev in straight sets 7-6, 7-6 in an entertaining men's final. He overcame some physical adversity to keep playing.
I had some back spasms on the right side of my back. I haven't played that much tennis in the last couple of months, so this week, you know, the load's been pretty stressful, but I just had some back spasms and obviously had some treatment. We got very lucky to get out of that first set. You know, he was 5-2 up, I think, and I got pretty lucky on some of those points, but, you know, sometimes that's how it goes.
And he had plenty of praise for his young challenger.
Daniil is one of the most consistent players there is on tour, and he's so young, so his career is just begun. He's younger than me, so to think about all of the great things he's going to achieve is pretty scary. And also with Stefanos yesterday, amazing atmosphere. So this week's probably one of the best weeks of my life in tennis perspective, but, you know, I feel like I've grown as a person. I'm getting better every day.
Kyrgios has long been a divisive figure in tennis. When focused, he's one of the most dangerous players on tour. But the Australian is no stranger to controversy both on and off the court.
Honestly, you know, where I was 6 months ago, some of the things I was doing, and I was just putting myself in a really tough situation, and to respond like this, having incredible support, it's amazing. I've had people behind me, backing me, and they never lost faith in me, even though I lost it in myself.
The win, of course, moves Kyrgios up in the ATP standings.
At the end of the day, I don't care about rankings at all. I just want to, you know, grow as a person, as a human, and, you know, if that comes along, the tennis player will come with it. So, you know, that's all I can do. Just small habits every day, trying to get better.
And with that final point, American Jessica Pegula tasted victory for the first time in her WTA career as she won the City Open women's singles title.
Feels a little surreal, definitely kind of a blur, but I thought I played really well. I'm just really excited because I really wanted the first title, so happy.
The 25-year-old Pegula defeated Italian Camelia Giorgi in straight sets 6-2, 6-2. She's the daughter of Kim and Terry Pegula, owners of the National Football League's Buffalo Bills and National Hockey League's Buffalo Sabres. Pegula has now won a title, something neither of her parents' professional teams have done.
It's almost like relief. I've had so many injuries and I've had a couple surgeries, and at times it was kind of like really hard to get through, but this definitely made it all worth it for sure.
Jessica Pegula.
Game set matching. 2 sets to one. 6-3, 7-6.
Zhang Saisai of China also emerged as a first-time winner, beating Aryna Sabalenka of Belarus 6-3, 7-6 in the Silicon Valley Classic.
It's really feel unreal, you know. I didn't expect anything, then win this whole thing. It's just crazy.
Zhang used steady looping ground strokes and patience as she topped three seeded players on the way to her first victory at age 25.
I just didn't think so much, and, you know, I just... play a normal match, to focus every point and play my game. I didn't change so much, you know. Everybody knows she has like strong game, so you know, return, serve and return are very important, first two shots. So I just keep like put deep for the first shot and start the point. That's my main goal for today, yeah.
Welcome to Montreal.
Spanish tennis great Rafael Nadal returns to Montreal this week, where he had his first success on hard courts.
I really don't know what impact had this tournament in my tennis career, honestly, but for me it was the first big victory on hard courts, you know, so means a lot to me in that moment, especially against Andre in that emotional final. And yes, honestly, I always had a good feelings playing here. I enjoyed a lot of great matches on my career playing here in Montreal.
Nadal says he's not worried about his body taking a pounding on the hard surface.
Sometimes it's unlucky, sometimes it's because I am 33, not 25 anymore. And that's it. And at the same time, hard courts are tougher for the body than clay or grass or softer surfaces. Nowadays, not many sports, not many professional sports that competes in such a hard surfaces like this one.
Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer are not playing the event, leaving Nadal as the only member of the current top three in Montreal.
When I get to one tournament, I just try to work my side and to work my game. No, it doesn't matter. I cannot be thinking all the time if Novak or Roger are here or are not here. Nowadays, tennis are more than only three players, and there is plenty of players here that are great players.
One of those players is Italian Fabio Fognini, and like Nadal,
I'm getting old. I'm mostly like more at the end of my career than before, so I have to accept that. I know that my body is different than before, and it's normal. That's it.
Fognini is ranked 7th in the world and wants to win.
I'm gonna fight for it. I mean, this U.S. series, it's gonna be really important because last year I didn't play my best tennis here.
The Italian is not focused on maintaining his top 10 status.
He's the top of our sport, playing with the other 7 best players in the world. So it's not my priority because I know that probably if he's my priority, mentally can destroy me.
Kai Nishikori of Japan is playing Montreal with lofty goals heading to the U.S. Open as he has reached the quarterfinals of the 3 other Grand Slams this year.
I think I have to pride myself doing decent on Grand Slams. You know, could be better if I can go semis or finals, but that's going to be next goal.
Nishikori is making the sometimes difficult transition to hard court, but it's a surface he enjoys.
Grass court is the most toughest, you know, to adjust. And but I had 3 weeks, you know, after Wimbledon coming here, so I had enough preparation. But feel a little bit fast here, especially on center court. I don't know why. Feel like balls skipping a lot. But I like first court, so it's good for me.
As for veteran Andy Murray of Britain, he's still taking his time after hip surgery on a possible return to singles play.
I wouldn't play the U.S. Open as my first tournament in terms of singles. So if I was to play, I'd have to play potentially next week. But I'm not in any rush to start playing again.
Murray is in Montreal to continue playing doubles.
I'm getting the competitive matches with the doubles, and I'm around the tournaments and able to practice with the top players. You know, I can really see where my game's at, and I'm doing fine.
That's British tennis star Andy Murray. And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that tennis package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. My VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten, joins us now with news of the recent Basketball Without Borders camp in Senegal and a rising female player who was there. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The annual Basketball Without Borders Africa Camp, or BWB, brought together the best under-17 male and female athletes across 29 countries onto one court. And this year, Senegalese budding star Binta Diata was among the 60 boys and girls who spent the week learning the fundamentals of the game. Diata says for her, basketball is not a hobby but a passion, and she's playing to win. Diata says she has big dreams. First, she wants to play on the Senegal national team, then join the WNBA, and ultimately play in the Olympics. You could say Diata's path towards a career in basketball was predestined. Her mother is former WNBA champion Astu Ndiaye. Ndiaye has played at the highest levels of the game in both the United States and Europe, and she is now an assistant coach at Utah State University. But Ndiaye says at the beginning of her career, there was no clear path for her to follow.
Because I'm a woman, I'm from here, I'm Muslim, I leave the culture, and I went to a different continent to see something else and experience something else, and chasing success and the sports at the highest level. People my age or before did it trying to find it on their own, just chasing something without really a clear path.
And Ndiaye's path eventually led to a basketball scholarship in the U.S., the WNBA, and Senegal's national women's basketball team. In 2003, Ndiaye won the WNBA championship with the Detroit Shock, and that same year, she gave birth to Binta Diata. In fact, Diata is one of triplets. Both her brother and sister play, but Diata shows the most promise. She began playing basketball at age 8 while in the U.S. In 2016, Diata returned to Senegal and joined the Seed Academy to further develop her playing skills. And it was there that she got serious about the game. Now she is one of 4 Senegalese female basketball players at the BWB camp to receive top coaching from current and former NBA players, including Lawal Deng. The South Sudanese 2-time NBA All-Star was on hand to coach the boys' team, and he says events like the BWB camp have ushered in a new wave of talent in Africa.
No, it's great. It's amazing. I mean, for me, you know, growing up in Africa, to see this, it's amazing. It's just given an opportunity that we never had. And now it's paying off, and it's showing the potential of what Africa can be when we give it a chance and give these kids an opportunity.
And Astu Ndiaye says she notices a change in the opportunities available for young female athletes like her daughter.
Like all the opportunities that are being given as of now is huge. It's huge because the equipment in the school system, it gives them options so they can do the sports and go to school at the same time.
And the intersection of basketball and education is the mission of Basketball Without Borders. Along with dribbling and shooting hoops, campers also learn valuable life skills to help them build confidence on and off the court. The annual event is organized by the NBA and FIBA, the International Basketball Federation, and is usually held in South Africa but was staged in Senegal this year. Binta Diata says events like BWB will level the playing field for male and female athletes.
Ici en Afrique, c'est pas...
Diata says in Africa, women don't always have the same opportunities as men, but in Senegal, we are modernizing, and everybody, women and men, are equal. And for Diata, those opportunities will allow her star to rise. As the camp drew to a close, Diata received the Most Valuable Player Award, making her one of Africa's most promising young athletes. And that's all from me, Sunny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now let's bring in Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel for another European Football League preview. On the previous two shows, Ryan has previewed match week 1 of both the English Premier League and La Liga of Spain. This evening, Ryan looks at the Bundesliga, the National Football League of Germany. Sporty greetings, Ryan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Bundesliga is usually a 2-team race,
but that doesn't mean it's lacking in excitement. Last season, perennial powerhouse Bayern Munich edged their bitter rivals Borussia Dortmund by a mere 2 points to win the league. So, one win could make all the difference in a tight title race. The Bundesliga race for European Cup football is also an entertaining one, with the top four teams making the Champions League and teams 5 through 7 making the Europa League. Last year, traditionally solid sides such as Schalke and Hoffenheim missed out on European Cup football, while relative unknowns like Mönchengladbach, that's a mouthful, earned their spot. So, up and down the table, there's a lot of intrigue in the Bundesliga. The Bundesliga kicks off Friday as defending champs Bayern Munich take on returning 11th placers Hertha. Bayern are the heavy favorites, but you might want to take the opportunity to see players like Thomas Müller, Robert Lewandowski, and Jerome Boateng in regular season action for the first time in months. Dortmund starts off against another lower table club in FC Augsburg, who escaped relegation last year by just one spot in the Bundesliga table. Players to watch for Dortmund are Marco Reus, Mats Hummels, and Thomas Delaney. The top Bundesliga fixture of Match Week 1, in my opinion, is the early game on Sunday between Eintracht Frankfurt and Hoffenheim. Frankfurt finished 7th last year, just making it into the Europa League qualifying rounds by a single point. Hoffenheim was not as lucky, finishing 9th, 3 points shy of a Europa League berth. This came after Hoffenheim qualified for the Champions League in the previous 2 seasons. Despite being on the road at Frankfurt in their opening match, Hoffenheim will be extra motivated to start off with a win to help them return to their former glory. Also starting off soon are Ligue 1 of France, which begins tomorrow as Lyon faces Monaco, and Italy's Serie A, which begins 2 weeks from Saturday as Juventus travel to Parma Calcio. That's all I have from the football world. Back to you, Sonny.
Ryan, I heard the English Premier League transfer deadline just passed, and some big-name players switched teams. Can you tell our Voice of America listeners about some of these top transfers?
The past few days leading up to the transfer deadline have been absolute insanity, Sonny. So many talented players on the move. Romelu Lukaku, a Belgian international star who was born to Congolese parents, will transfer from Manchester United to Inter Milan for an $82 million fee. Tottenham is a club that's been aggressive in the transfer market. They have signed 19-year-old up-and-comer Ryan Sessegnon from recently relegated club Fulham. And although it's not official just yet, it appears highly likely they'll sign Argentinian midfielder Giovanni Lo Celso from Spanish club Real Betis. Manchester City quietly made one of the best signings of the transfer window, bringing in Joao Cancelo from Juventus for $67 million as they look to bolster their already stacked squad. And Arsenal is making moves as well, as they hope to soon make official deals for Chelsea's David Luiz and Scottish left-back Kieran Tierney. Lower down the Premier League table, Watford is making a splash. They are bringing in their most expensive transfer ever, Senegalese winger Ismaïla Sarr. Watford will bring in the African star for $34 million. And finally, after it was long rumored that Ivory Coast forward Wilfried Zaha would leave Crystal Palace for another club, it appears that Zaha will stay put with his current team. There's sure to be more major transfer headlines coming in soon, but that's all I have right now.
Thanks, Ryan. That's Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel. In pro boxing, there's still no date or venue for the rematch between world heavyweight champion Andy Ruiz and former title holder Anthony Joshua. AJ told Sky Sports, and I quote, "I'm going to battle for it to be in the UK because it's my stomping ground." And he'd say, "I'd fight in Tijuana, and Ruiz's uncle could be the referee, and I would still whoop him." Ruiz responded on Twitter, "AJ says he can whoop me in Tijuana. Prove it. Let's run it in Mexico." So we'll have to wait and see where that big rematch will take place. And that wraps up the August 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Wojtek Zorniak. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
When you think of a parrot, you probably think of a small, chatty bird. Paleontologists in Australia and New Zealand were looking through some 19 million-year-old fossils when they discovered what they say is the world's largest parrot. Named Heracles inexpectitus, the scientists' research suggests that this parrot stood about 1 full meter tall and weighed 7 kilograms. In an email to VOA, research leader Professor Trevor Worthy of Australia's Flinders University says since it was such a heavily built bird, it probably was unable to fly, so it spent most of its time on the ground. But Professor Worthy also pointed out that even the flightless kakapo, a living giant parrot, are skilled climbers. So he suspects Heracles inexpectitus would have been able to get up the trees and then could have glided down to the ground. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, thank you for listening to Border Crossings with Larry London. This month, Border Crossings is giving away a really cool Voice of America t-shirt. Hooray! If you want to win one of these awesome shirts, all you have to do is make a song request for our show. I see it, I like it, I want it, I got it, yeah. Tune into Border Crossings at 1500 Universal Time every weekday in August for your chance to win.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll have an in-depth discussion on child marriage and how girls are valued around the world. Married teenage girls are often physically abused and forced into lives of chores and childbearing. The worth of a girl on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.